of my father, and it's kind of strange as a pastor to have to go through a funeral yourself, because you're always doing funerals with others, but it is nice also to see the remembrance of a loved one and all the kind words people say. And I know this is not always true, but isn't it kind of true that we kind of forget the bad things when we remember someone? And we only are left with the fond memories? Let's bow our heads today as we kind of think on that and contemplate just that. Our Father in heaven, as we open the scriptures today, help us to see what you want us to see. Help us to hear what you want us to hear. And dear Father, open our hearts and our minds to you. In Jesus' name, amen. The words for today to count, for those of you who are young people, we do have a gift for you afterward, if you would like to pick something up from Mrs. Nelson on the way out. And adults too, those of you who have a little ADHD or just like counting words and things like that, the words for today are John, Jesus, witness, and light. And we'll start right now. I did put a typo accidentally in the Newsy News. I texted on my telephone, and all of a sudden, instead of witness, there was whiteness. I guarantee you this is not a politically charged sermon. But it is something to think about. How do we view the Bible? Do we view the Bible through our lenses, through our culture, or do we individually look at the Bible and see how Jesus can affect us? The reflections of John that I'm talking about this morning are an interesting concept, because you think of a person sitting down and trying to write what was the most important thing that they had to share with you about a friend that they called Jesus. What would you do if you had to sit down and you had to start to write about a relationship that you had that lasted only about 3, maybe 4 years, or if you were related to him about, 20-odd years? How would you take the essence of that relationship? How would you take the whole experience and encapsulate it into words? How do we just observe? I mean, you can observe things a lot. I mean, how many of you just look at something and you just blankly stare at it and you kind of absorb it? We call that television. Or we call it YouTube, or we call it anything else that's, screen-oriented. We just sit there and stare at it for a while. If you look from the outside, we look kind of ridiculous. But how do you absorb what you're observing? How do you take that and encapsulate it? How do you make sure that you can share that with someone? What do you start with? So Dave, I'm going to ask you to take this microphone around. And there are very strange things in the pews today. There are unpainted wooden letters. If you had to start a letter to people about God, and you had this letter to start with, what would you say? How would you start the book? I mean, you look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. How would you start? Some of you are passing the letter. I see that. Or there's some down here. So if one of you wants to share, there are a few down in the front here. How would you start the letter with that letter that's given to you? Some of you are looking and going, oh, no. Don't worry. There are no Z's out there. Would anyone like to share? Anybody? Okay, there's one there.
You're not going to believe this. Okay. I have to tell you.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay. That's what you'd like to say. You can say it in the microphone for our audience that's online here.
You're not going to believe this, but what I have to tell you actually happened.
That could actually be something very amazing. Just think about some of the miracles that happen. Yeah, you're not going to believe this. Anything else? You have letters there? What would you start it with? Anybody?
My letter is E, everyone, Jesus loves you.
Wonderful. Anybody else?
I will start my letter saying to John, dear John, you don't imagine how good you were for all of us. We learned from you that a Savior was coming. And we live because of him. So dear John, we needed you just in the time you were there.
That would be an interesting concept to write a letter to them and thank them.
Yes. I see this was left unattended, so I'm going to jump in here. See, because you died on a cross for me, I have eternal life. I'm eternally grateful.
Anyone else? I won't hold it up and open too much longer, but if you want to share. I know some of you are shy, it's fine. One more.
There's a W up there, so my sentence would you like to hear the best news ever?
That would be good. Yeah. Thank you. Just one more. Anybody else? I think everybody's spoken. Thank you. That's a good start. You can see what the author was kind of going through when he started the letter to the people. A lot of these were just letters to people explaining what had happened. Some of these were just written out and said, you know, we're going to give it to as many people as possible. But not everybody read back then, so it was read to them. The reflections that John had were amazing because if you look at it, he had to explain the experience that he had with other people. How would you explain the experience that you have with Jesus Christ? Some of us would be like, do you have a few minutes? I mean, hours? I mean, days? John starts somewhere peculiar. If you open your Bibles with me to John chapter 1, verse 1, I've said this before, but this is one that we learn in Greek. En arche ha halagos. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. There was the true light which came into the world, enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and he saw his glory and the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies of him and cried out, saying, this is he whom I have said, who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for he exists before me. For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given to Moses, grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time, the only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. We'll cover a little bit more today, but I find this interesting that John starts in the beginning of the earth. And he establishes something that a lot of people are very, very uncomfortable with because they have preconceived ideas. John wanted to start in the beginning because he wanted to start with the creation of the world. Who was involved and why was this started, this whole earth experiment? I have wondered for many years why people don't want this text and they want to do away with it. There are some that want to do away with it because it says something very, very strong, and that is that Jesus Christ is God. Because it establishes him as the creator. The word in the words is the breather of life. Because if you look at Jesus, you look at the Old Testament, you look at a lot of the prophets, they were seers, but there was also this thing called breathing. And when you breathe, it says God breathed into mankind, and what happened? They became a living person or a living soul. So when God breathes or God says, it comes into being. So John establishes that in the beginning, the Word was God. Jesus Christ was back there, and guess what? He's here as the Messiah. This is written maybe during the time or right after the time that Jesus died. It establishes this very clearly, and it looks very, very strange if you look at it just as someone who doesn't believe in God. But John observed the relationship that he had with God through Jesus Christ. He experienced it. In fact, over and over again, you see Peter, James, and whom? John, sons of Zebedee. The author of John is probably John, the son of Zebedee. It starts here with John the Baptist, but it shows that Jesus was in existence for a long time, and it shows that John was witnessing in the desert about Jesus before he was killed, and therefore the rest of the story couldn't be told by him. So it's probably John, the son of Zebedee. He observed Jesus his whole career. He observed all the things that Jesus had to do. In fact, being in the inner circle, do you remember anything that Peter, James, and John did that other people didn't do? I hear some back here. The Transfiguration, he was there. The other ones were sleeping. Anything else? I think they even tried to heal one time. Peter, James, and John were there when Jesus was suffering the most. Peter and James and John were there through some of the most difficult times. They were there in the Passover service and the Last Supper. Now, all the disciples were, but they were really close to Jesus. And it's because they witnessed everything that they saw, and they were really intrigued, and they start to absorb it. How many of you have ever witnessed something and you had to tell people about it? How many of you saw something exciting and you're like, I gotta tell it, I gotta do it? No, some of you never get excited. Okay. If I'm gonna be a witness, I have to tell what I have experienced. What is a witness? It is someone who sees an event take place, observes, or is, in our sense, a person that openly professes one's religious faith through words or and actions. Words are something that are kind of interesting in our career as pastors. We say a lot of words over our careers. It's very shocking sometimes that, you know, some of the words that you say all of a sudden go to someone's heart, and they change their life forever. And it's not our words that do that, but the words are used. When you start talking about Jesus, it's not something that we're just doing because we're paid to do it. It's something that we know to be true because we have a relationship with God. And when you have a relationship with God, it comes to a point where you can't contain anymore the excitement and enthusiasm that you have. You have to tell someone about it. Now, some of you, it might be, you know, there's that special green and gold team. When they win, everybody gets excited, and they have to tell everybody, especially the other team that lost. But what if you already know who wins the championship? What if you know who wins at the end? John started writing about the Creator in the beginning of the world, and he started talking about the relationship that he had with God. And then he went and he said that when John the Baptist saw Jesus, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Why did he say that? It's because everybody knew that Jesus was going to be the Lamb of God, but they had forgotten years and years ago. And he reminded them, and all of a sudden some people's ears perked up and was like, "The Lamb of God? You mean the Messiah?" That same crowd filled with hundreds and hundreds of people, all of a sudden just a few were hearing, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And they said, "I want to follow him." And they started following and understanding what was going to happen. And then some of them became disciples of this man, John. And as they became disciples, they listened more intently, like, "The Messiah is coming. This is good news. This is exciting. This is wonderful." And then Jesus shows up one day. "John, can you baptize me?" They were relatives, so they knew one another, but John knew that this was the Messiah. Woo! It's a relative of mine, too. It's a Messiah. He is the one that has always been promised. Woo! Whoa, what am I going to do? "Baptize me, please. I am not worthy to baptize you. I should be baptized by you. No, please baptize me." Now, I'm taking a lot of stories and kind of putting them all into one, but this is what happens in the beginning. If you read over this chapter a couple times, you realize that this is happening. When Jesus asks him to baptize him, the Holy Spirit comes down as a dove, and a booming voice from heaven says, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." And Jesus goes down and is baptized. There was somebody there that day that we've been talking about for a little bit here, named John. When he saw that, he realized something immediately. He realized immediately that Jesus was not just some man. He was not just some rabbi, but that this was the man that was promised since Adam and Eve. This was the man that is sent from God to do what he said he was going to do in the first place, and that is take away the sins of the world. Can you imagine coming to that conclusion while listening to this other preacher that is dressed in camel skins and eats really weird food? Can you imagine listening and saying, "Jesus is coming again"? And this is him, the Messiah. Whoa. How am I going to explain this to my family? Whoa, do I dare tell my family? For instance, how many of you told your family, "I'm going to follow Jesus all the way and become a Seventh-day Adventist"? How'd that go over? Or, "I'm going to follow Jesus all the way and I'm going to become a Christian." How did that go over? My family, some of them were Shinto Buddhists. How did it go over when you've decided that I'm going to follow God all the way? What did that next week, what did that next month, what did that next year look like? For some of you are like, "Oh, when I gave my heart to Jesus, everything was peaches and cream." Actually, usually the opposite happens. It becomes very difficult, and you have to be lasered in on Jesus, and you have to find out, "I am really going to stick with this. I am going to be a witness for God. I am going to, through my actions and my words, follow God no matter what." And when your family realizes this, they usually do one of two things. They say, "Okay, you can go do that, whatever. We still love you." Or, "I don't want to talk to you again. You're weird." It's usually how it happens. Or some of them just hands off. They don't want to talk about it. So the words that we have and the life that we live all of a sudden become something very important. I'm kind of doing a parallel here with God, us, and John. Because if our words, our life, and our actions seem to light the way, who is the one that gives us that light? It has to be Jesus Christ giving us the light. It has to be through, like John, that we see the light of God. The curiosity that we have, the talk that we talk, the being a witness part of life, how do we do this? How many of you have ever tried to just walk up to somebody and said, can I tell you about Jesus? What do they do? Some of you don't know because you haven't tried it. I don't. Or if you did, it was a long time ago and that did not go well. Or you talk to them about Jesus and they're like, oh yeah, that's kind of cool. Bye. Today, I mean, let's see. I think it was Wednesday. I was in the store and I didn't even realize the shirt that I was wearing. I said, it says Team Jesus on it. And I went in the store and they're like, hey, nice shirt. I'm like, thank you. I have no idea what shirt I'm wearing. Then I looked down and I was like, oh man, that was a missed opportunity. It's a missed opportunity because witnessing is telling your relationship with God and how it's going. Turn in your Bibles with me to John chapter 1, and we're going to start with verse 6. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. How many of you have ever been tempted to witness about yourself? You're like, Pastor, what are you talking about? How many of you have thought your ideas and things are more important than sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ? I have been. I've been there. I've done that. And you start sharing, and the person's like, eh, whatever. I don't need that. But when you share the gospel, the light of God, all of a sudden something goes off in the other person. There was the true light which is coming into the world, enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came on his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You realize that what we proclaim as Christians is the fact that God is who he says he is. He's coming soon, and he wants to adopt you. He wants to make sure that you are going to be in heaven. And a lot of times we get confused on, you know, I should do this, or I should do that, or I should do this, or I should do that, when it really doesn't have much to do with that. It has to do with the relationship that you have with God. Because you can say should all you want, but until something hits you, you don't know how you'll react. And when you react, then you'll find out, are you close to God or not? There came a man sent from God whose name was John. There came a person named you. Put your name in there. There came a person sent from God whose name was. They came as a witness to testify about the light so that all might believe through them. If you don't tell someone about Jesus in a positive, wonderful light, do you realize that they may never have the chance to hear the name of Jesus in a positive way again? Now, I don't want to put too much pressure on you because the Holy Spirit's there. Don't worry, because I've messed it up a number of times. I went to a Bible study and I said, you have to believe this, and boom, 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 all 27 at the time. It's 28 now. Boom, boom, boom. They're like, I don't believe that. Well, we didn't even go through some of the Bible. We didn't even study it because I didn't establish first that God is who he says he is, and he's the one in charge. And when God's in charge and he wrote the words, we don't believe that he wrote every single word in the Bible. We believe that he, through people, were impressed to write things, some word for word, but a lot through thought. And when it's written out so that many people of all different walks of life can understand. How many of you, being an engineer, would love to talk to a musician that is all conceptual and nothing very detailed, just all conceptual, would like to hear about Jesus through that person? And the flip side, how many of you who are conceptual and love things in a broad, beautiful picture would like an engineer to describe in detail the relationship with Jesus Christ? That would really be difficult. So Jesus makes a lot of different kinds of people that are analytical, that are very good with their words, that are very good with creativity, that are very good with conciseness, and some that are just relational. Some that lead by example. Some that lead by teaching. And some that lead by word. A key component is the purpose in which you share Jesus Christ to others. The purpose is that they may believe in God, John says. Don't confuse John with Jesus, he says. I am not the light. I want to point you to the light. And that's our job as Christians, is we want to point many, 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 many people to Jesus Christ. John's talking about Jesus here, and that's what we should be talking about every day, is Jesus, not our little inconsistencies that make us supposedly better than someone else. We lay ourselves on the throne of God and say, listen, Holy Spirit, please speak to this person. Help me to get through to them because I want them to be in the kingdom of heaven. So that makes us have to look at people different. If John looked at people, I think he looked at them a little different, because when I hear him describe Jesus Christ, he describes Jesus as the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God came down from heaven, became like us, and dwelt among us. Do you remember the story about the little birds that were in the storm? And it was snowing, and it was really bad, and the birds were all huddled against a window, and the person looked out, and they're like, those birds are gonna die. It's like 20 below zero tonight. They're gonna all die. There's no feed, no nothing. Looked out there, tried to chase them away, get into the barn, and they wouldn't respond whatsoever. Came to the conclusion that he had to at least get one of them. And so he got a big, big blanket and kind of went like this, and they all flew all over the place, but he managed to grab the one, and he took it into the barn, and he put it up on a roost, and he just left the doors open. And guess what? All the other birds saw that he was all dry and warm, and they all joined him. And the thought in the mind there was, I wish I could become a bird. I wish I could tell those birds to go over there. But until one experienced the dry, warm place, the rest of them didn't come. The fact is that when we tell other people about Jesus Christ, we have to identify with people around us and understand that they're people just like me. They're people just like me that have the same things that are going on. In fact, we talk about all the deaths and things that have happened recently. It's depressing, I know. I mean, it hurts. I mean, I've experienced it myself, and many of you have. But you know what? There are other things going on, and we celebrate them. Here's a few things that I know are going on. Some of you are going to college for the very first time in the coming weeks. That is most terrifying and most joyous at the same time. I remember being dropped off near McKee Bakery, and my parents leaving, and I'm like, oh no, it's all me. Oh yeah. And then 3 weeks later, Mom, can you send me some money? Anyhow, that's just the way it goes. We also have people returning for the second or third or fourth year into college and high school. Going back to school Monday here at our school. Some getting jobs for the very first time after getting a graduation certificate that says you are able to work in a line of work that you've always wanted to. There are many things to celebrate as a church family. And yes, some of us are still hurting, but that doesn't mean we can't celebrate with you when you are happy. That means we are going to celebrate with you because you are happy, because it makes us happy too. It's wonderful to understand that when John wrote this, he was happy. Jesus had died and resurrected, and when he was writing this, he said, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It was an awesome thing for him to say, Jesus came and he was among us, and I need to tell you a little bit more. He wanted to spell it out in detail, but more important, he wanted to share with us Do you have an active relationship with God? And is it playing out in your actions and words? He says, I want to witness this to you. I want to tell you this. That is what a witness is. We don't reduce somebody's life down into this little teeny thing that says, this is the person. We live it out. We live it out not in a statement or in a creed, who we are as Seventh-day Adventists. We totally are different than all the rest of the denominations around us. We don't just live by a creed. We live by a relationship. And that is a progressive thing. It changes all the time. Because when you get closer to God, you realize that you need to be closer still. Becoming a child of God is so important to John that he spells out how it happened. John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, and the glory of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies about him and cried out, saying, this is he of whom I have said, he will come after me and has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. For his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law is given through Moses, grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time, the only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father. He has explained him. This is the testimony of John when the Jews sent him priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? Have you ever been asked who you are? And he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. Now, let's unpack that for a little bit. How many of you, if you were asked who you are, would say, I'm not God? That's not the first thing out of our minds and out of our mouths. It's not. Well, some of us, it may not be. But I am not Christ. I'm not God. Then they asked him, what then are you, Elijah? And he said, I am not. Are you the prophet? And he answered, no. They said to him, who are you? So what we may give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? And he said this. This is the most wonderful part of this chapter, I think. He said, I am a voice crying in the wilderness, making straight the way of the Lord, as Isaiah the prophet has said. I am just prepping the way for God to enter into your heart. That is the job of us Christians, is to prep the hearts and minds of people for Jesus' soon return. And in doing that, the Holy Spirit has to play out, because you and I can't do that work alone. All we can do is share our experience, be witnesses for Jesus Christ. John is spelling out what he realizes that the testimony is and how the life of Jesus Christ changed him and made him a better person, equipping him to tell others about Jesus. The Holy Spirit was now doing his work in John. The next part of the story is about John the Baptist, and it talks about how he was basically taken out. But he says, I am a voice crying in the wilderness. And John identifies with that, not only because he has the same first name, but because he identifies with the fact that God is truly more mighty and powerful than I can ever be. I think it is interesting that John, the son of Zebedee, uses John the Baptist as an example for testifying of Jesus, because he died after he testified of Jesus. But John is just calling it like he sees it, because he realizes that death is no longer the end. It is only a pause. It is only a short time before God will call his beloved people and resurrection will happen. That when God comes in those clouds of glory, that there are going to be a lot of people witnessing about Jesus. This is what it might look like to be a witness. Looking at more than just food or shelter for people, which I think is important, but we need to see the people around us as Jesus sees them. As individuals searching for God, sometimes they don't even realize they're searching for God. Some of you never thought you were actually looking for God, and all of a sudden he found you, did he not? I know there's a typo in the Newsy News. I mentioned it just recently. Whiteness instead of witness. But you know what? I think we put way too much value in skin color. In fact, your pastor right now has three tones because I worked out in the sun. My Asian side started showing up because it's kind of a greenish yellow and it gets darker. And then I wore shorts and scared my children half out of their minds. Because I showed them what porcelain white means. But when Jesus sees us, it's not the skin tone. He looks straight into your heart and your mind, and he asks you, will you follow me? Because if you really look at this carefully, Jesus was Asiatic, probably a little darker skinned, but that didn't matter. He witnessed to everybody that would hear his voice. He said, I want you to come and follow me. I will make you fishers of mankind. It didn't matter what walk of life you came from either. It didn't matter if you had money or you did not have money. He realized that he needed everyone to share what they could share with everybody they could share it with. And so he called them, not because of what their culture was, but because of what they could share with others and the influence that they would have. We sometimes look at each other and all we see is skin deep. That's terrible. I'm going to ask something that's really hard right now. How many of you really know the person right beside you? I mean, really know them. Three seats down, behind you, in front of you. How many of us really, really know one another? And for all of you introverts, I know I just stabbed you with a very large sword. Don't worry, even you enjoy getting to know people. It's just in a different way. Sometimes we look at each other and realize that we were all descendants of Adam and Eve. We fail to realize that God created everyone, and when he created everyone, he had to make a plan also to save us, because when Adam and Eve sinned, he had to make an exemption. And when the exemption happens, we find out that it doesn't matter who we are, we can share with others that Jesus is coming soon. We look around us and see people, and we look around us and see, how can I witness? How do you talk about Jesus to people? Well, let me ask a question. If God is your personal friend, how do you tell people about him? Words, actions, some of them look like love, some of them look like understanding, some of them look like helpfulness, patience, kindness, compassion. I mean, the list goes on and on. But how do you see people? I think of the early apostles. Now, this isn't one of the apostles. This is probably one of the first Adventist pioneers. But I think about the apostles. Did they plan to set up the church? Did they plan to have board meetings? Now, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. We need those. But did they have all this planning and stuff that was in place, and they met together for a long time, and then they said, okay, here's our strategy. We're going to go forward from there. Some of you are like, amen, brother, that'd be great, because some of you are planners and things like that. That'd be great. But basically, no, they did not. They prayed over people, they encouraged them, and they sent them. Think about that just for a little bit. They prayed over them, they encouraged them, and they sent them. You look at some of the early pioneers in the Adventist church, and that happened too. They prayed over them, they raised the money, and they sent them. Some of them not even speaking the language or even knowing what the culture was. How many of you would enjoy doing that? There's a few of you who would. I know you. You would love it. You'd love a challenge. And when Jesus' message was spread, you can imagine, from Wisconsin even, my family, South America, got missionaries right away after the Adventist message started. In some parts of Northern Africa and Central Africa, missionaries went from this state. And yes, we even have a church that sent missionaries to Norway because it was the first Adventist church that was Norwegian speaking. That's Oakland. It's amazing to me to see that people not even trained really, reached people because they had the joy and wanted to witness. That means that sharing God has been shown to us over and over again, and we can do it too. And you're like, well, Pastor, you're trained to do that. Yeah, I am, but I'm also trained to train you. When you see John met Jesus, it's not just another voice crying in the wilderness. Jesus was that long-awaited Messiah, the God of creation, the only hope of those who had no hope, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. What would you bear witness of today if you went and heard that speech? If you read John 1:1 and just that chapter this week over and over again, where would that take you? What words would you speak to the people around you? And what would be your expectations? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we have learned just a little bit of John's story. We're going to learn a lot more. But dear Father, help us to understand what it's like to witness. Dear Father, I know that sometimes we have bad experiences and that it's really hard sometimes to talk about God because people don't really want to hear it, or they have ideas of Christians because many have been a bad witness before. But I pray, dear Father, that you'll put people in our path this week that we can talk about our relationship with you in a positive light. And dear Father, I pray that those that are online too, that they'll be able to hear and feel the ability of having that relationship with you and be able to share with others too. Dear Father, our family is a little fragmented, and I pray, dear Father, that you'll bring us close to one another, you'll bring us back to one another, and that we'll be mighty in witnessing for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please stand and join us in singing hymn 462, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine.
Story, this is my song, praising my my Savior all the day long.
It's a good practice to write out your relationship with God, how you met him, how you progressed in your relationship with him. I think it would be neat this week if you did that, put it down on paper, and kind of look at it and see how God has led in your life. Then when somebody asks you, or if you're able to share with it, with someone, you can just share it. It's a wonderful thing to have a testimony. And some of you are like, well, you know, I don't have a colorful testimony. I didn't, you know, do all these bad things and then come into the church. Guess what? A testimony with God is a testimony with God. You don't have to do bad things. You can do good things. And really, a testimony is about God doing good things in you. So I encourage you to write it out this week and be able to share it with someone, because it is nerve-wracking, I know, to share Jesus with people, especially in the world we live in. And so I just wanted to share that with you. I think it's a neat thing to do. I've had plenty of opportunity to rewrite my story because it changes over time. So I encourage you, write it out this week.